Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 692, we're going to talk about one of the most searched topics on the internet in the present time frame, the first few weeks of January. And this is after the Oprah Winfrey speech at the Golden Globes. Oprah for president. What do you think? We'll talk about it in podcast 692. There's something new and fun to do these days, whether it is a date night, business client appreciation event, a corporate team building event, something with your family, or a friend's night out. It's at Brush Studio West End in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Now, I can tell you that an artist will guide you through making and creating a painting. And I can tell you that you'll come away with a real painting, something you can hang on your walls at home or at work, something you and your friends and your coworkers or your family would be really proud of. But the other night, I actually went over to Brush Studio, and it's actually better if I take you inside a Brush Studio event a little bit, and you can kind of hear the reaction and what people do. So let's go on into Brush Studio.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
Sure.
You guys having fun?
Yes.
Yeah, tons of fun.
What are you painting?
We're painting birch trees and in the nighttime with a little cardinal.
We're trying.
So they give you paint, right?
Yeah, and you just follow the people at the front.
The person at the front.
Yeah, the person at the front. And then you just follow their breaks and everything. And yeah, I don't know.
It's really fun.
Different thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, on a Friday night.
And a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
we're having a good time. We got the whole family here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So
I got my wife and our two sons and their fiance and one's girlfriend.
I didn't even know I could.
This is one, probably the most fun you can have at a job. Seriously. My favorite part is when people just completely go off the rails and do something that I would never think of or other people wouldn't think of, but they came here with like an intention. It's a thing to do on a Friday night that isn't watching TV, isn't going to a movie. You're being social with a group. You get a little wine or something, but it's not like that's all you're, like at a bar, that's all you're there to do, you know. I've been teaching for 22 years, I make all kinds of stuff on my own.
You look like an artist. You
what?
Fun?
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Look like an artist.
I just found my inner artist.
Your inner artist.
Yeah.
Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. 22 brands of beer, an extensive wine collection, catering from Crave in the West End. You're going to have a good time because they are event planning ninjas at Brush. Date night, client appreciation, corporate team building, family, friends. They'll all be great. Sign up online at Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park at brushstudio.net. Brushstudio.net, or you can reach out to Brush at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brush Studio. Oh, by the way, there's plenty of parking in the West End, St. Louis Park. All right, first of all, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at the Bob Davis Podcast. There's two options. You can initiate the audio stream, which plays the last three podcasts, or you can click on a podcast and listen to it while you're hanging out on the page looking at stuff. You can also subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast at iTunes, Stitcher.com, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play, and of course, Spreaker.com. The podcasts are actually shared on all kinds of syndicated sources for you. Best source to hear them is right on the page. You can also subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Also, I love the likes and the shares and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter. I love Instagram, and I appreciate the donations at thebobdavispodcast.com for Mobile Podcast Command. We will be out covering the 2018 races in various parts of the country. If you want to make a donation, you click on that big yellow donate button, and you can take it from there with PayPal. So that is how to find the Bob Davis Podcasts and donate to the Bob Davis Podcasts. All right, back to Oprah. Well, this is a rare daytime podcast for me at the Bob Davis Podcast. Usually I record late at night because it's quiet. But lately I've been kind of on a daytime schedule, so I'm just going to do this today and get this down because I want to get it up on the website at thebobdavispodcast.com as quickly as possible. Also, I'm going to make references to a number of things that I've done before. I think one of the things that is really a problem in political coverage is people are, and I've talked about this many times in the podcast, people are reactionary in that they respond to statements, they respond to speeches, they respond to stimuli, but they don't look at individual states, they don't look at the political science of a potential candidacy, let's say, that we're going to talk about in this podcast. So I'm going to do that a little bit in this podcast, podcast 692, because I think we need to get this grounded to real political parameters, and that it means 50 states, because as you know, America has a system whereby we appoint our presidents. We don't elect them. The Electoral College actually chooses the president, and the popular vote is a guide for the Electoral College, but not necessarily a direct election of a president. So any conversation about a potential candidacy for anyone has to have some impact, has to be discussed with some attention paid to the 50 states of the United States of America. So that's the first thing. And I'm going to talk about this in this podcast. And I'll tell you why. Because when I covered the 2016 races, I paid very close attention to the individual states. I traveled to most of the 50 states of the United States. And it's very much about the individual states, especially when you get into polling and issues. And, this is the one thing that the mainstream media did not do. This is why they did not see Trump coming. And this is why most of America did not see Trump coming, because they weren't looking at the individual states, and they weren't looking at individual state polling, and they weren't looking at the potential for certain political issues to have traction for one political party or the other. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about this, but I want to ground it a little bit, and so we're going to do that. So without really getting into the whole speech, I'm not going to play the whole speech because you can find it on YouTube and millions of people have already watched it on YouTube. I don't need to do this. But this is the speech that has now kicked off all of this speculation about an Oprah Winfrey presidential campaign.
For too long, women have not been heard or believed if they dared to speak their truth to the power of those men. But their time is up. Their time is up. Their time is up. And I just hope that Recy Taylor died knowing that her truth, like the truth of so many other women who were tormented in those years, and even now, tormented, goes marching on. It was somewhere in Rosa Parks' heart almost 11 years later when she made the decision to stay seated on that bus in Montgomery. And it's here with every woman who chooses to say, me too. And every man who chooses to listen. In my career, what I've always tried my best to do, whether on television or through film, is to say something about how men and women really behave, to say how we experience shame, how we love and how we rage, how we fail, how we retreat, persevere, and how we overcome. I've interviewed and portrayed people who withstood some of the ugliest things life can throw at you. But the one quality all of them seem to share is an ability to maintain hope for a brighter morning, even during our darkest nights. So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally finally dawns. It will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men fighting hard to make sure that they become the leaders who take us to the time when nobody ever has to say, "Me too," again. Thank you.
So the Golden Globes was flat in terms of ratings this year, you know, with this particular telecast. It doesn't generally get, it's about a 5.5 share and about 20 million viewers of the Golden Globe show nationwide, depending on the hour. Oprah Winfrey is the most searched personality related to the Golden Globes this week, according to Google. Searches peaked, of course, right after the speech, literally at 8 p.m. on the night of the speech. It is balanced across the country, but, and this is important, but higher numbers of searches from California, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, and Minnesota, New York, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Massachusetts, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Maine, Virginia, and Hawaii being pretty high. Most of these are higher than California. Most of these other searches are the states that I mentioned, which, of course, has a population of 35 million people. But what's important is some of these states that I mentioned have actually smaller populations, like New Hampshire and Virginia and Minnesota and Wisconsin. So if you were to index the searches from states like this, which are actually at a higher number than California, you would see that some of these states would spike in terms of their interest in Oprah. And that is important because these are states that Donald Trump ran very well in 2016. Wisconsin, Wisconsin and Michigan and places like that. So that's kind of interesting. And it doesn't, this is not saying that Oprah Winfrey would run well in those states or anything else. It's just saying that I think it's significant that some of these states that you would normally associate with the middle core of the United States seem to do pretty well in terms of searches and interest in the Golden Globes speech by Oprah after the fact. It's not to say that they were watching during the speech, but that they were interested in searching her name and searching for the YouTube videos after the speech itself. Now, what is significant here is I don't have to say anything to you about who Oprah is. All I have to say is Oprah. In fact, I don't have to tell you her story. You already know her story. I don't have to tell you what she thinks about anything. You already know generally what she thinks about things. And she is a person who is referred to as a single name. She is a brand unto herself, which is not dissimilar to the president who, before he ran for president, if you said Trump, everybody knew what you were talking about. They didn't think that you were saying Trump card, as you would say in Pinochle or something. I don't even know if you play, if you have a Trump card in Pinochle. But anyway, when you say Trump, before he ran for president, everybody knew he was a businessman from New York and did some stuff with Miss America and was a billionaire and a developer in New York City. Same with Oprah. When you say Oprah, people know that she had a big TV show and that she's, you know, a really good person and she cares about people. And that doesn't mean I agree with those statements. I'm just saying there is a brand associated with the name. Politically, this is a really important thing because this is the one thing that the Democrats have lacked. There was a story just recently about all the Democrats, quote unquote, flocking down to Iowa to kind of get their names in front of potential voters in Iowa because, as you know, and you know my issues with Iowa as this supposed bellwether politically, just because they have the first primary in the nation, everybody that goes down there, the caucuses, and, you know, they all flock there because they think that somehow that's the holy grail of politics. So it was the usual crowd of Democrats who are just like the usual crowd of Republicans in that they're kind of almost faceless. Like if I say Cory Booker to you, you have to know some political history. You have to be a political person to know who Cory Booker is. If I say Joe Biden, you might know he's the vice president, but beyond that, you really don't know much about Joe Biden except that he was Obama's vice president from a political perspective. Now, if I say to people who are Democrats, Bernie Sanders, they know who he is, they know what he stands for. But when it comes to a name that is really a clean brand, you know, whether it's politically or anything else, Oprah is a big deal. So this is a major challenge for Republicans if she decides to become a candidate or even to endorse candidates, even to go out and campaign for candidates in the off year. This is a very powerful thing because she is a person with a single name brand that is equal to, if not greater than, the president's. And I think that's a very, very important thing. Now, Republicans don't like hearing this, but this is the thing that the Democratic Party has lacked. But politically, this is a major challenge for them because she has a name that is a brand, and that's really, really important. Up to this point, the brand that was sort of the leader for the Democratic Party was a sort of broken down and tarnished brand known as Hillary Clinton. Oprah is not tarnished. Now, I'm going to talk later in the podcast about some of the potential problems with an Oprah candidacy for Democrats, and it's going to involve Democrats more than it involves Republicans. But here's the thing. The Golden Globe speech sounded like a political speech. It concentrated on a single topic and broadened it a bit. Now, this is the topic about, first of all, Oprah's experience as a black person in the United States, as well as a woman, which are both issues which resonate from the center to the far left in this country, but really also about the current controversy in Hollywood and across America with alleged sexual harassment. And this fits right in with the Democrat strategy of making this a major issue, like they did in the Roy Moore race. And there is overtly an attempt to tar the president with the same challenges and the same charges, but they don't have to prove anything because he's a public personality. They can say that he's done this or done that. And of course, there's the famous, tape from the bus in which he talks about grabbing women. So that's going to be something that's not going to go away. And of course, this is, they've sort of cleared the deck for this by getting rid of Senator Al Franken and some other congressmen who have been part of this whole witch hunt that has started in Hollywood and so forth. Now, women don't like hearing that phrase, but again, my issue is I worry about politics when you can basically get people who are elected officials to resign because of charges which are not necessarily proven. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying that Al Franken didn't do this or Judge Roy Moore didn't do that. I'm not defending them. They can defend themselves. I think it's dangerous when you are in a political environment where people can do this. And it's, you know, what's good for the goose is not necessarily good for the gander in this case. This is a populist issue for the center left and for the so-called low information voters, which I now believe almost everyone is a low information voter. So this is, you know, people talk a lot about populism on the right and, you know, the sort of white middle class, you know, blue and white collar worker who's been disenfranchised and so forth. Well, on the left and really across a wide swath of America, there's a lot of voters who have also been forgotten and disenfranchised, and they are women and so-called minorities. So this is an important thing to have a standard bearer that can activate these people. Now, before I get to the potential problems with an Oprah candidacy, I just want to say this. If you want to be an astute political observer, if you want to be an astute political commentator, the most important thing is you can't take sides and you can't say this is what's going to happen and predict the future. I'm not doing that. I don't care who's president, to tell you the truth. I've reached the point where I'm so cynical at this point. I'm not that concerned with whether Donald Trump or Oprah Winfrey is president. I don't know if it's better for the country, and I'm certainly not going to tell you who to vote for. I don't believe in that. You have the freedom of choice. This is information that may help you think about this, and if you want to be an astute observer, you don't want to deal in absolutes because politics does not deal in absolutes. Politics deals in probabilities, and when you look at probabilities, people said Donald Trump couldn't win. And this colored people's ability to judge all the way up to the top commentators in this country because they couldn't believe that someone like Donald Trump could win the presidency. Well, he did. And he did probably to his own surprise. And so I'm not going to say Oprah can't win. I'm not going to say it could never happen. I'm not going to say that she couldn't win. I'm just going to say, first of all, yes, she could. And I'll tell you why here shortly. And there are certainly pitfalls for her as a candidate if she decides decides to run, but let's not deal in absolutes and let's not tell people what they should think. You think whatever you want. Just take what I say as a sort of a primer that nobody else is going to give you, because they're going to tell you all about why she couldn't or why she could or what's wrong with her or how you're supposed to react or what Trump's going to say about her or all this other nonsense. And none of that matters. So we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about women who ride motorcycles. Yeah, you know, everybody knows that guys ride motorcycles, right? It's usually associated with men. And if you have a man in your life who is riding, you know how important safety is. You know how important badass accessories are. But there's a lot of female riders, especially female Harley riders. And if this is you, listen up, because if you ride and you know how important safety is, I want to turn you on to a company called Ciro3D, C-I-R-O, Ciro3D.com. This is the great motorcycle products and accessories company. They make great lighting options and accessories, but the lighting options are what I want to concentrate on for women riders, because they help you be seen. We're talking about lights that go on the back of the bike, as well as great headlight options and solutions. Go to Ciro3D.com, sign up to get the 2018 catalog. This is a fabulous catalog because it shows you how all this stuff works. Great views of the parts. Installation is easy, and you can get help with that at Harley dealers if you need to. Ciro3D.com, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. Ride safe. Well, we're talking about politics, so I can mention that you're seeing in the news. In fact, there's going to be new discussion about trade protection with President Trump. This is an issue with foreign manufacturing and the new president. And because of this, some companies are thinking about reshoring to the United States. So this means bringing back manufacturing to the United States. If you are in the decision chain of a company that is thinking about this, or you know someone who is, turn them on to DepotStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepotStar.com, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing right here in Minnesota. You can visit their website at DepotStar.com, DepotStar.com. Off the top of my head, here's some of the positives for Democrats. If Oprah decides to run on the Democrat ticket, you know, it's been rumored that she was actually a Republican for a long time. So I don't know if that's true, you know, but you never know. What if she decided to run as a Republican? It would really confuse people in this country. So if Oprah Winfrey decides to run for president on the Democrat side, I would think that there is a very welcoming portion of the Democratic Party, and that would be the so-called centrist former Hillary Clinton supporters right away. So you'd have a lot of wealthy Californians and New Yorkers and Bay Staters and people across the country who support her, primarily wealthy women and so forth, and sort of the whole Hollywood coterie and all that, that would be available to her. That's the first thing. The biggest problem for Oprah, I think, is going to be the Bernie Sanders people who are interested in ideas, who are interested in an ideology, almost like a religion first. So her challenge, first of all, she's a businesswoman, and I think this is another real positive thing for her, because she's built this business, and she's always been somebody who has wanted to be independent and to own her own stuff. And so as a business person, that puts her sort of in the middle, in the center. And I don't know where she's going to be in terms of the Bernie Sanders people, who are very powerful in the Democratic Party right now. You know, I think Bernie Sanders is too much of a fringe candidate and too old to run for president, to be quite honest with you. She's perfect. She's right in there, healthy at, you know, in her 60s and able to, you know, physically handle the rigors of running for president that are going to be involved. But she's going to have a problem with some of the Elizabeth Warren types unless they figure out how to handle that. And those are going to be her biggest difficulties, is the far left, the you know, the real left wing people really are collectivists, and they really want to remake the American political system to be much more of a socialist democracy, so to speak, than it is currently. Now, A lot of Republicans are not going to like hearing that, but I've said for years, you know, the United States can be a socialist country. You know, if that's what the people decide that they want to do, we can certainly go there. There are pitfalls to being socialist, one of which is very slow or no economic growth, and I don't think as a political system it really works very well because essentially it concentrates power into the central government, which is always dangerous, which is why we have a republic. I think we should go the other way. I think we should actually limit the amount of democracy that we have. I think we actually have too much democracy in the United States, but I don't think we're going to go back in that direction. But her problem would be with the Bernie Sanders people, and I'm not talking about the Bernie Sanders people that are going out and being organized to help in places like Alabama with Judge Roy Moore's loss down there, which, by the way, and I have to say this because some of the people listening to this podcast probably aren't real political junkies, but I think it was the campaign. Doug, I think, was a guy's name, Doug Jones, who was going to be the senator from Alabama. You know, his team said this was a 1% race from the get-go, and we got a little bit of help in the middle of the race with these allegations. But in the end, it turned out to be just slogging on the ground to get the vote out. Well, this is kind of similar to what's going on across the country, and this is the confusion that people have about politics. Donald Trump did not win a landslide election. He managed to eke out 1% and 2% victories and a solid 10%, I think it was something like 10% or more in Ohio. So he was able to win those states, but not by a lot. So my point here is we're talking about 1% races in 50 different states. So it comes down to Wisconsin and Michigan and Massachusetts and New Hampshire and Minnesota and Iowa and places like that. So then you have to look at a candidate and say, could she win 1% and 2% and 3% victories in some of these places that significantly have been swing states, because that's what this is all about. It's all about the middle of the country. I don't think it's going to be about California in 2020. So there's that. Could she win in those states? Absolutely. Could she generate and mobilize women and minority voters? Absolutely. And I think to her credit, probably enough to overwhelm any resistance from the so-called resistance movement, the Black Lives Matter people, the Bernie Sanders people, and so forth. And significantly, because she is black, they're not going to go after her like they went after Hillary Clinton, because she can say, I know exactly what you're talking about, and she can appease those people. And I don't think that's a racist statement. I think that's a political statement, that because of her experience in life, she can actually, quote unquote, feel their pain, to steal a line from Bill Clinton. And I think that's really important on the left. As far as the rest of it is concerned, and this is the problem with Republicans. So the next step here is the 2018, off year cycle, where Congress and governors and state legislatures are being elected across the country, and 1/3 of the U.S. Senate. So because of this, you're going to sort of have a test of a lot of political speech, whether it is the time's up thing or whether it is the economic stuff, although I think a lot of the 2018 races are really going to be about President Trump and about the hatred for Trump. That's going to be a big issue in this election, and we'll see how that plays out. As far as the West and those areas of the country that we would refer to as red, the Deep South. Again, you know, look at what happened in Alabama. Significantly, you get a great candidate who can speak to these portions of the electorate that have been or feel disenfranchised, who everybody knows in terms of name value, and suddenly the Deep South is not a lock for Republican candidates. Oprah is from Georgia, you know. Then there's Alabama and Mississippi with large numbers of black voters, with large numbers of female voters who might be inclined to vote for her as long as she doesn't sound like a raving socialist lunatic. And I think she's smart enough to do that. I want to say one more thing about this. So, you know, Trump has sort of had this low frequency appeal to people who feel disenfranchised. At least that's the story that has been associated with his victories in the middle part of the country in 2016. That he has this ability to tweet stuff out and to tell the truth, you know, speak his truth, let's just say that, that resonates with certain people. But it is kind of a low frequency resonance, and it's a raw kind of rough hewn sort of resonance. She has the ability, through years and years of doing this on her talk show and by her intelligence and who she is, to play those same chords but at a much higher octave. So you have somebody who really knows how to play those same political chords that doesn't play them at the same level as the president, but at a higher octave, and if you will, a more intellectual but yet emotional octave to activate people who feel disenfranchised. So if you want, without having a political principle to talk about, it is a sort of a populist kind of approach for the Democrats too. I don't know what she's going to do. I don't know if she's decided she's going to, you know, run or not, or what the situation is. She certainly has made noises about it. She can certainly be used in this 2018 cycle to emphasize the whole time's up thing. You know, I was just talking about the candidates who have gone to Iowa to campaign recently. And I think the thing that's interesting about that is, you know, they have to go there to campaign. She doesn't. She can go there. Oprah can go to Iowa and have hundreds of thousands of people show up. It's like the Pope going, you know, she can go down there. So she has the same star appeal as a Donald Trump. She can literally do the airplane hangar campaign where she shows up, gets off a plane and stands in an airplane hangar and delivers a speech. If she shows up at some caucus event in Iowa, it's going to get massive amounts of coverage and it will literally blot out any other candidate on the left who's there. Now, I've been there and I've followed those campaigns and I've gone to those events. And let me tell you, there aren't that many people going to these events. So when you go to a political event in Iowa or South Carolina in those early stages of the presidential campaign, 60 or 70 people show up. You're lucky if you get 200 people showing up, right? Unless you're in South Carolina by the Air Force Base and Lindsey Graham is there, they'll get 200 people there. Oprah Winfrey in South Carolina would have 10,000 people at an event without any difficulty because of who she is and because of this goodwill that people have because of 20 years of that TV show. So this is a big deal. You've got two TV stars potentially battling it out. And with all due respect to the Democrats, I don't see any other candidate who has the star power and capabilities of an Oprah Winfrey. If she decides to take this, she's going to take, and she will smoke all of the other Democrat candidates. Now, they'll try all kinds of things. The pitfalls for her are they will go dig up everything about her history. They will challenge her friendship with Gayle. They'll attack the Stedman thing. They will go after everything that she's done. But the thing about Oprah is she's lived her life on the air, very much like the president, and she can respond to all that stuff. But she's going to be attacked from the left first. And then once we actually see a candidacy, well, you know, I'm not going to speculate about the line of attack that the Republicans will have. But this is why I said when Trump became president, remember this higher octave versus lower octave idea. When I said when Trump became a presidential candidate, I said to Republicans, you know, you've got to worry not if he loses. You got to worry about what happens if he wins, because the Democrats, even with all of their divisions, if they have a big enough candidate that can unite them, they will be united. The Republicans are not that way. The Republicans are very, you know, spread out right now. There's certainly no civil Republican war. But I worried when Trump became president and with him become president, I worry about the fact that he really isn't, you know, a Republican. He isn't a limited government kind of guy. He's certainly not a libertarian kind of guy. And I worry about the effects of his low octave ability to play those populist chords really destroying the Republican constituency as opposed to building it up. The exact reverse is true should Oprah become the standard bearer for the Democratic Party. So low octave versus high octave is really going to be a challenge in 2020. And we're just going to have to see how things play out over the next 20 months, starting with the 2018 elections, and we'll go from there. Once again, thanks to Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Something new and fun to do in Minneapolis at Brush Studio, West End, St. Louis Park. Classes tend to fill up there. So once again, reach out to Brush at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700, brushstudio.net. And remember, that great motorcycle parts and accessories company I talked about is Ciro3D, C-I-R-O-3D.com, Ciro3D.com. You can just go there or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. All right, so that's kind of an early blush look at the potential for an Oprah Winfrey presidential campaign. Again, you have a choice. I'm not predicting the future. I'm not telling you what's going to happen. That's all up to you. It's best to stand back, watch what happens, and see. You always have a choice of what to think. Don't let people tell you what to think. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 692.
Right here, right now, right here.